WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Residents in eastern Orange County can now use tap water for laundry or bathing, but it's still not safe to drink. Prosecutors plan to use DNA evidence in the case of the so-called shopping cart killer. And Virginia moves closer to a single agency that would regulate all legal gaming in the state. But some equestrians aren't sure they like the idea. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, August 26th. Tap water in eastern Orange County is still not safe to drink, but the Daily Progress reports that residents may now use it to bathe or do laundry. A petroleum odor, while dissipating, is still noticeable in the water supply, and neither the Rapidan Service Authority nor the Virginia Department of Health have determined what has contaminated the water. Last Wednesday, the Rapidan Service Authority said it had found hydrocarbons in the water at its Wilderness Water Treatment Plant, which services eastern Orange County. The trial for the first of two local murders that Anthony Eugene Robinson, the so-called shopping cart killer, is charged with, is set for next month. The prosecution plans to use DNA evidence in the case. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Robinson stands accused of killing Tanita Larice Smith of Charlottesville and Aileen Beth Redman of Harrisonburg in a motel in Harrisonburg in late 2021. Law enforcement in Fairfax County, Washington, D.C., and Prince George's County, Maryland, are also investigating him in connection with four other women's deaths. Police have dubbed him the shopping cart killer for allegedly transporting victims' bodies in a shopping cart. The trial for Smith's murder begins on September 23rd. The one for Redmond's murder is scheduled for January. Court documents filed in June of this year indicate the Commonwealth's attorney plans to use DNA evidence at trial next month. A report from the Virginia Department of Forensic Science states that multiple samples recovered from the scene of Smith's body contained both sperm and non-sperm DNA that, in layman's terms, were a match for Robinson. I went over the results with a molecular biologist to be sure I understood. In the report's terminology, Robinson cannot be eliminated as a contributor of the samples. For multiple samples from the crime scene, there was less than a 1 in 8.1 billion chance that the DNA came from someone unrelated to Robinson. As the National Institute of Justice explains in an article on DNA evidence, quote, a point is reached at which the tests have excluded virtually the world's population, and the unique identification of that individual as the source of the DNA has been achieved, end quote. A motions hearing has been scheduled for September 9th. The judge will likely consider multiple requests from the defense, including banning terms like serial killer from the courtroom, as well as the mention of unadjudicated bad acts, such as the possible murders of other victims. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You can find links to more information on our website. That's WMRA.org, also on the app. Blue Ridge Health District officials are working with Sentara Martha Jefferson Hospital and UVA Health to get more people to fill out the latest community survey called Map to Health. The survey helps health district officials determine health priorities and reduce disparities for the next year. The Map to Health team will also be hosting focus groups to learn more starting in October. The survey is available in English and Spanish on the BRHD website for anyone who is 18 years or older and lives in Albemarle, Fluvanna, Greene, Louisa, and Nelson counties, or the city of Charlottesville. And you can find the survey at vdh.virginia.gov/Blue Ridge. Full disclosure, the Virginia Department of Health underwrites programming on WMRA. The EPA says that less than 10% of all plastics get recycled, and much of the rest ends up in rivers and oceans. A group of Virginia Tech students spent the summer analyzing how much and what kinds of microplastics are in the Chesapeake Bay. Virginia Public Radio's Roxy Todd reports on what they discovered.
Students traveled to two marshes in the Chesapeake Bay to collect sediment layer samples, which they brought back to a lab in Blacksburg. In the marsh, they saw plastic chairs, a tire, and lots of small pieces of plastic, says senior Allison Montgomery.
Going to a salt marsh for the first time was really eye-opening, just to see like the amount of stuff that gets washed on and collected, and then to see it in a lab.
From there, they isolated fiber-thin microplastics from the sediment and studied them with a heavy-duty microscope and a spectrometer. Student Ted Dosev explains they use these machines to trace what kinds of microplastics are in the soil.
Not like that. Yeah. We would just put them in there and then close it back up.
Dosif says their results didn't have too many surprises. Lots of microplastics showed up. Samples from soil layers dating to the 1950s showed pollutants like polystyrene. Layers from recent years had a lot of different, newer types of microplastics. Though there were some samples from layers that date before 1950 that had microplastics that hadn't even been invented yet.
So somehow they're like migrating downwards in the soil, but we don't know how yet.
Their professors say more research is needed to explore this further, but it could mean that storms cause sediment to mix and churn, pushing microplastics further down into the sediment. In Blacksburg, I'm Roxy Todd.
And finally today, a state committee has taken one step closer to a plan that would consolidate the multiple state agencies that now oversee legal gaming in Virginia. That includes horse racing. The Virginia Mercury reports that the proposal would put regulation of the state's expanding casinos, sports betting, bingo, online gaming sectors all under one roof. Last week, a committee to study the feasibility of creating a Virginia Gaming Commission reviewed the proposal for the first time. The sole exception would be the Virginia Lottery, created as a separate state entity in 1987. After nearly dying back in 2015, horse racing in Virginia has made a comeback, but equestrians are a little worried about the changes that such a consolidated regulatory agency may bring. Virginia Public Radio's Brad Kuttner reports.
But the beautiful thing about that program is it's saving our farms.
That's Debbie Easter with the Virginia Equine Alliance Board. She was talking about the 2018 historic horse racing bill, which injected, via horse racing machine funds, much needed revenue into one of the state's oldest industries. Between that and the reopening of Colonial Downs, the state's only thoroughbred horse track, money is now flowing into Virginia's horse racing industry. Here's Botetourt County Delegate Terry Austin.
We've seen a tremendous amount of investment in horse farms and equipment sales and farm store sales, all related to the horse industry here in Virginia. And throughout the valley, we've seen so much development take place.
This update on horse racing at the legislature comes as elected officials look to consolidate most gambling industries under one new state regulatory agency, the Virginia Gaming Commission. But in the eyes of the Virginia Equine Alliance, this good news, including $2 billion in industry revenue and 30,000 jobs, could be harmed if the state's existing horse racing commission gets axed in favor of something larger and new. Jeb Hannum is also with the VEA. He said the way race funds flow to Virginia businesses could get muddied if another level of bureaucracy is added.
We don't want to pull the main revenue source for racing and put it over in a new commission where racing is disconnected from the prime revenue source.
The committee will vote on recommendations for a new gambling commission later this year. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.